Ben and the others had become acclimated quite quickly to the thin air of the Himalayas, the roof of the world, but the monks insisted on giving them provisions and warm clothing for their flight. Even Sorrel realized that she would have to wear human clothes over her fur to keep out the cold above the clouds. A boy of Ben's own age took Ben and the professor to a building on the outskirts of the monastery where the monks kept food and clothing. Only on the way there did Ben realize how large the monastery complex was and how many people lived in it.
"We'd love to come with you," said Barnabas Greenbloom as they followed the young monk. "I mean Vita, Guinevere, and I. But I'm afraid human beings have no part to play in this adventure." He patted Ben on the shoulder.
"Except the Dragon Rider, of course."
Ben smiled shyly. The Dragon Rider. Every monk they met bowed to him. He hardly knew where to look.
"Have you thought about what you're going to do afterward?" asked the professor without looking at Ben.
"I mean, when you've found the Rim of Heaven, and if everything goes well, and..." He cleared his throat, running a hand through his grey hair. "And if Firedrake flies back to the north to fetch his relations, will you stay with the dragons for good?"
He looked at the boy almost shyly.
Ben shrugged his shoulders.
"I don't know. I haven't even thought about it.
At the moment, there's no before and no after, if you see what I mean."
The professor nodded.
"Yes. Yes, I know the feeling. It's common at moments of crisis. But," he said, clearing his throat again, "but if you should feel like, I mean," he added, wiping his nose with a large handkerchief, "I mean, if you'd like to be back with ordinary people after all these adventures," he looked up at the sky. "The Vita's very fond of you, and Guinevere's often told me she wished she had a brother."
"Perhaps," he concluded, looking at Ben and turning quite red in the face. "Perhaps you'd like to think of us as your family for a while. What do you say?"
Ben stared at Barnabas Greenbloom, speechless.
"It's only a suggestion," the professor made haste to say. "Just one of my eccentric ideas, but we would try..."
"Oh, I'd like to," Ben interrupted. "In fact, I'd love to."
"You would?"
Barnabas Greenbloom sighed with relief.
"Oh, I'm so glad. Well, that'll make the wait here even harder for us."
"You may remember," he said, smiling down at the boy,
"that on our next field trip, we're going in search for Pegasus."
Ben nodded. "I'd love to come along and search too," he said, and shook the professor's hand. All was ready for their departure by the time darkness fell over the mountains. Ben and Sora were well muffled up, with warm caps on their heads, gloves, and fleecy jackets. Twigleg sat on Ben's lap, wrapped in a piece of lambskin, with the thumb piece of a glove on his head for a cap. Sora's backpack contained dried apricots and a thermos flask of hot buttered tea, just in case, as the llama said with a smile when Sora sniffed it suspiciously. Firedrake did not mind the cold, and the monks didn't seem to feel it either. Wearing only their thin robes, they accompanied the dragon through the bitter cold of the night to the Dubedai Caves. In the light of their torches, Firedrake shone as brightly as the light of the moon. Lola Greytail flew just ahead of him, her plane buzzing along. The rat had decided to accompany the dragon and was now waving to the monks as if she were at the center of all the excitement. Berberchan was waiting for Firedrake in the same hole in the rock face from which he had emerged earlier. But this time, he was not alone. More Dubedai were peering out of other holes. They had all come out to see the strange dragon. And when Firedrake stopped beneath the caves and looked up, an excited whispering arose. Furry heads, both large and small, gazed at the silver dragon. Berberchan swung a sack over his shoulder, scrambled down the rocks, and climbed onto Firedrake's crest as if he had been doing it all his life.
"Any room left for my luggage?"
he asked as he sat down in front of Sorrel.
"Hand it over," grunted Sorrel, hanging his sack beside her own backpack.
"What on earth have you got in there? Stones?"
"Mushrooms," Berberchan whispered in her ear. the most delicious mushrooms in the world. I bet you've never tasted anything like them.
Oh, yeah. I can just imagine, sniffed Sorrel, strapping herself into place. If they grow on these mountains, they'll probably taste great.
Berber Chan just grinned. Here, he said, pressing some tiny mushrooms into Sorrel's paw. They may not be particularly tasty, but they're good for altitude sickness. Give one to the small human, and let the two little creatures have one each, too. The dragon won't need anything of that kind, but the rest of you should definitely eat them. Understand?
Sorrel nodded and put a mushroom in her mouth.
You're right. This is nothing special, she muttered. But she handed the rest of the mushrooms to the others.
Berber Chan rested all four paws on Fardrake's warm scales.
I had quite forgotten how wonderful it is to ride a dragon, he whispered.
Fardrake turned to him.
Ready?
He asked. Berber Chan nodded.
We fixed another strap-on for you, called Ben from behind the doobie-dye. Strap yourself in!
And so Berber Chan buckled the strap around his furry stomach.
Oh, by the way, said Sorrel, tapping him on the shoulder, it seems we may not have seen the last of that golden dragon after all. His mountain dwarf was eavesdropping on us yesterday, just as you gave such a wonderfully detailed description of the way to the Rim of Heaven. You realize what that means?
Berber Chan scratched his stomach thoughtfully.
Yes, we have to get there ahead of him, right?
He leaned forward over Fire Drake's neck.
What are you going to do?
He asked the dragon.
What are you going to do if the Golden One turns up at the Rim of Heaven? Are you planning to hide along with the others?
Fire Drake turned his head to him.
No, I shall never hide again, he said.
But of course you will, cried Sorrel in alarm. Of course you must hide until he's gone away again. I mean, what else can you do?
Fire Drake did not reply.
Ready, he called to the riders on his back.
Ready, cried Berber Chan, moving a little farther forward. Let's wake the dragons from their slumber.
The monks holding torches stepped back and Fire Drake spread his wings. The moon was waning, so he drunk a little moon dew just to be on the safe side. His wings felt as light as the feathers of a bird.
Good luck,
cried Barnabas Greenbloom.
Come back soon,
called Vita. And Guinevere threw Ben a chocolate bar. He managed to catch it just before it fell into Sorrel's lap. Lola Greytail started the engine of her plane, and Firedrake rose into the sky above the monastery. He flew up and over the mountainside to which its buildings clung, and made for the white peaks rimming the sky to the east.